following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to Turn 61 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast of the Blizzard game Hearthstone. And again, we are a casual podcast, so we play casually and we enjoy ourselves. We do try to give you little tidbits of information that could be helpful in climbing the ladder, but if you're expecting the elitist stuff, you will not find it here. You're just going to find us jovial people like Autumn's Bane and Micmac.
My greetings.
Hello. How are you?
Fine and dandy. Did a lot of Hearthstoning this week and starting to climb up the ladder, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, I climbed up and then I'm back to 20. Autumn's Bane?
The Iron Juggernaut guards Orgrimmar and has just earned the Employee of the Month award.
That's Flame Leviathan.
Leviathan is from Ulduar.
No, silly, it's a dead giveaway. It's the Iron Juggernaut.
I know.
I mean, even I can guess that one.
And we fought it and killed it many times.
Yes,
now it's back in Hearthstone. This legendary costs 6 mana to call out. It's a 6/5 mech. It has a battle cry that says, shuffle a mine into your opponent's deck. When drawn, it explodes for 10 damage. This is a legendary. Legendary mech. And somebody actually emailed or tweeted us this week, showing us an image of a mage that had only one health left, drew a card, and it was the bomb.
Yeah, I think that's one of the emails we're going to be discussing today, actually.
Okay.
I think so.
I guess it just discussed.
Well, I think we're going to be reading it, but yeah, that's pretty phenomenal.
It's a very powerful card. I wish I had one. Maybe someday.
Well, why do you think I read it? Because I got one this week.
Oh, jealous.
After weeks of crappy packs, I managed to get this card along with 2 goldens in the same pack.
Nice.
That's karma coming around.
Okay, my karma should be driving around front soon.
We're utter garbage.
Yeah, that's how it goes. So I was going to say that this week we had no new news, but lo and behold, As often it happens when we're preparing for the show, something new came up, and I'm going to read this to you all first. From console to combat, the next generation of interactive gaming is here. Inspired by classic first-person shooter video games, Overwatch is the next generation of interactive gaming. Using Overwatch, all the technology you've come to love from combat and first-person shooter video games is available in real life right on your smartphone. Overwatch isn't just another smartphone game. It's tactical utility to enhance airsoft, paintball, and first-person shooter gameplay. It's not just a game time, it's game time for real. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yes, but
doesn't that sound
this
like
this is not the Overwatch that our listeners
exactly
are accustomed to.
This is not the Blizzard Overwatch. This is an app for your iPhone or smartphone that is called Overwatch. So,
you want me to read from the next article?
Yes.
Blizzard's Overwatch trademark suspended. The USPTO, that's the United States Patents and Trademark Office, has suspended Blizzard's trademark for Overwatch because of a likelihood of confusion between the team-based shooter and a mobile app of the same name. USPTO documents obtained by NeoJAF reveal both Overwatch trademarks were suspended. Oh, both Both Overwatch trademarks were suspended on January 9th, 2015, pending the ultimate disposition of the applications. So what this means is Blizzard's got a lawsuit to contend with, or they're just going to rename Overwatch.
Or they're going to pay somebody off.
Well, that would be a settlement of a suit. My money's on the
first. I don't know if there's a lawsuit. It's just that right now that it looks like the trademarks are being, there's under contention as to what's really, who owns it. But I really think that Blizzard's put a lot of stuff into the artwork and into the whole thing with Overwatch. They've got money. Buy them out.
I think they'll just buy them out. Assuming it's a small company, of course.
Especially since Overwatch is taken from the remnants of that long Titan project, which got stripped down and made into this.
Yeah, so my thoughts is I'm hoping that Blizzard will part with some of their funds and keep that name, because I still can't wait for this to come out. And I've got this big giant picture on my screen that's got the Overwatch and all the people in it, and I don't want that to be a piece of history already before the game even comes out.
Now, why people are saying, why are you talking about Overwatch at the top of the show? It's because this is breaking news, so we wanted to bring it to you right away.
Yep, this happened today. Well, it didn't happen today, but it was announced today that they were gonna, you know, suspend the name for a while and see what happens. So stay tuned. As for Hearthstone, there really isn't a lot of news yet. So we're going to continue with the fact that tomorrow, January 13th, Hearthstone will be down for maintenance from 3 a.m. to 11 a.m. PST, which equals 6 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time. So we can't play during lunch, but down for maintenance. It doesn't usually hit Hearthstone. It's usually Warcraft. I don't think it's usually hits us. What do you think?
Well, there's been a lot of bugs. So, for example, I've seen that Consecrate, the Paladin spell, the whole board moves, and it moves off-screen sometimes. So there's something fishy going on with like the actual gameplay. So they're probably taking it down to fix a lot of cosmetic things. I haven't heard anything about potential cards getting nerfed. Maybe there will be. Maybe there won't be. I'm hoping that there won't be, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I recall many Tuesdays during lunch not being able to play, so a Tuesday maintenance is not unheard of.
No, but this one's being announced a couple days ahead of time to give everybody the heads up.
Yeah, the really big one is probably going to happen with Warcraft, I think, because they're putting in the PTR for 6.1, so there may be some things involved, but you never know, because all of Blizzard's games, Heroes of the Storm, they're all down for maintenance tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So maybe there are things that affect servers. And,
well, there's the DDoS
and server communication, DDoS attacks. Yeah, maybe just all of Blizzard's servers have to be taken care of at the same time. I don't know.
So just for the Hearthstone players, if it's down during lunch, that is why. And it's only for tomorrow, so we should be back and up and running and playing in no time. Hey, Micmac.
Hey there.
Have you been playing with people's decks again?
I have.
Do tell.
So, this week we tested Pro Scion's Cracking deck. Hey, Micmac, sending another deck to you to check out. I made this Shaman deck on a whim, thinking I would use it as a spell to the face deck for fun. But then I played it, and it actually is a very good control deck with a good amount of burst. I've been cleaning up in ranked. It got me up to 14 in the last week of the season, and just today I used it. Went up 3 ranks to 17 this season. You don't need to use Alakir if you don't have him. He was added in as a finisher with Bloodlust or Rockbiter. Sub any legendary you have. Now, I don't have Alakir, so I use Sneed's Old Shredder, but I'll get to that in just a few moments. This deck has a ton of overload. So the Farsights, keyword right there, key card is Farsights, okay? If you don't know what that is, it's a very unique Shaman card. Are essential. Check it out and let me know what you think. Pro Scion. So, let's break down his deck here, and I'll read everything off. If I don't say a number in front of the card, that means that there's two. Otherwise, there's one. So, one Totemic Might. Again, a very unique card for Shaman.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
Just to let people know what Farsight is, it's a Shaman card that's 3 casting cost. It is an epic that if you draw a card, that card costs 3 less.
It also happens to be the card that we all agreed was the single worst card in the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's hear it.
Okay, you know, and I've never used this card ever before. I've opened up at least 4 of these and dusted 2, possibly 3. But anyways, so 1 Totemic Mite, Earthshock, Lightning Bolt, 1 Rockbiter Weapon, Crackle, 1 Flametongue Totem, 1 Vitality Totem, 1 Whirling Zap-O-Matic, Farsight, Feral Spirit, Hex, Lava Burst, Lightning Storm, 1 Manitai Totem, Earthbound Element, Unbound Elemental, 1 Doomall Shaman, 1 Doomhammer, 1 Bloodlust, 2 Fire Elemental. He has 1 Alakir the Windlord, and I substituted for Sneed's Old Shredder. So, I thought this deck, right off the bat, was unique with seeing Farsight and Totemic Might in there, and it sort of like really piqued my interest. So, I went 2-3 with this deck, and I was actually very happy with it because of how I won. My best win was versus a Handlock. And Handlock is one of the scariest heroes to go up against early game, and even throughout the game, because the hero power, that Warlock just keeps tapping, drawing cards, and it just becomes so frightening and scary. You know there's Molten Giants in that deck. You know there's Mountain Giants and Twilight Drakes. Well, you know what? He never hit me once. I finished with 30 health. I aced him, and it was such a convincing win, and I really enjoyed it, to say the least. Then I played another Warlock. It was a Demonlock deck who beat me. I also lost to a Weapon Rogue deck. I came back to win against the Mage, which was also a satisfying win. And then I just plain out lost to a Priest for my final game. So 2-3, there we go.
And he did say this took him to 17. Now, Procyon is usually like slamming through the ranks, isn't he?
No, beyond 17. I thought he said 14.
14.
Oh, 14. Where did I hear 17 from?
Well, he also mentioned head. 17 in the email.
Okay. Wasn't in my head. Okay, so anyway, you like it. Should I try it?
Well, I don't know about that because I just wish there was more Goblins versus Gnomes cards in there. And I really like the new GVG cards. I'm still not a fan of Farsight or Totemic Might. It's not my cup of tea. Maybe it's yours. If you're looking, if you're a little bored looking for something to do, try it out.
Well, but, let's analyze. Why was Farsight necessary for this deck to work?
So there is a lot of overload. Feral Spirits, Lava Burst, Crackle. I mean, everything is overloads. The thing is, though, is that whenever I use Farsight, it just let me play the card for 0 mana, which was helpful and good, but I don't know if it was really all that worth it.
I finally understand Farsight.
Yeah, it sort of negates the actual overload of it.
Right.
Hopefully.
With so many overload cards, it enables you to actually use a card without having to worry about the overload. I take it back. Farsight's not the worst card in the game. We just weren't farsighted enough to see its potential use.
Totemic might be the worst card in the game.
There are a couple out there.
But, I mean, for what it was, I was not expecting to go 2-3 with this deck, and he is right. This was a very control-y deck, so he did a good job crafting, his own little piece in the Shaman world. And, I did like it. If you're going to take it to ladder, you may want to try something a little bit different, because I don't know how this would do there, but casual, if you're looking to get some quests done, something to consider.
So how many wins did it take out of 5 games?
So I have 2 wins and 3 losses, and I beat a Mage, and I also beat a Handlock deck. That Handlock deck was... I thought I was going to lose, like, just straight up going to just get demolished, but he never hit me once. And he had Giants, he had Twilight Drakes. I mean, I had answers for everything.
What turn was it that the game lasted till?
I think turn 8, if I'm not mistaken. It was a really quick game. I played Totems, I used my Flametongue Totem, so both of my Totems could attack. For the win, there were 3 cards I needed just to win. I either needed 2 Crackles or 1 Lightning Bolt, because I had a Lightning Bolt in my hand. Drew into Lightning Bolt, so that was the top deck right there. So things were in my favor, but he was just humiliated by this deck. I felt kind of bad for him in a way, because here's just a bunch of Totems running at him, and he's got all these different Giants and Twilight Drakes. Yeah.
Well, We have a vote for the worst card from our chat room from Ringo. He says it's the Gnomish Experimenter, which is a 3-cast and costs 3/2 creature whose battle cry is draw a card, and if it's a minion, transform it into a chicken.
Yeah, I don't get that card. There has to be some sort of reason for it.
We placed our vote for worst cards prior to GVG, so that definitely skews the whole voting process.
Yeah. I don't think I would ever have that card in my deck. I totally agree with Ringo. But you were speaking of...
You can make
a
chicken deck and just put all the lousy cards that involve chickens in this game.
Which would also be a weenie deck, possibly. Because
weenie
they're usually...
Deck.
Well, those are the 1/1 creature decks that you want when you get that... not the might... Which is that one? The one where you need to have 22 or less casting costs for your quest. That's not the first time I've called something a weenie deck. Yes. You've heard me call things weenie decks before. Why, in our very last episode. But best decks, Micmac, that's your cue.
That is my cue. So, Team Temple Storm, which is one of the most well-known teams, is owned by Raynad. And it's managed by a guy named Frodan, who I really like a lot. He's got a great knack for broadcasting. So they wrote an article this week. In specific, it was Magic Amy, their newest team member to Temple Storm, who is one of the few elite female players in Hearthstone. And she is pretty good, to say the least.
Who?
Magic Amy, that's her name.
Magic Amy.
Yep, she's from Korea. I believe she's from South Korea. Definitely wouldn't be North Korea, because they don't have internet access up there. But anyway, so... Let me read you guys just a little snippet of this article here, and definitely check it out on Temple Storm's website afterwards, because I think it'll be helpful to anybody that's struggling on ladder trying to make it up. One of the most popular questions we always get is, what deck is best to play? The right answer is hard to peg down, as everyone has their own answers. But not for Magic Amy, who lends her ladder expertise and experience to give insight on what's currently on top. Every week we'll be updating this list to be more expansive. Check back regularly to find out where your preferred deck currently lands in the metagame, or discover a new deck that you love playing or hate playing against. So they break it down basically right now into there's 4 tiers of mainstream Hearthstone decks, okay? Tier 1, 2, 3, and 4. Tier 1 is obviously what they, the professionals, see as the best decks out there right now, and tier 4 is just sort of not the worst, but as far as mainstream goes, they're not really that consistent. So for tier 1 decks, they said that the Control Warrior, the Handlock, which we just spoke about, the Zulok, the mid-range Hunter, and the Control Paladin are essentially the 5 top decks in the current meta of Hearthstone.
We've been running into a lot of druids. How are the druids on that thing? Are they saying that those are more popular
now?
Well, there's
other tiers.
Yeah,
so we're talking about the top tier right now.
Right. I'm wondering where the druid is, because you were saying yesterday or today you ran into druid after druid after druid.
Yeah,
so
yesterday,
druid right
the
now,
first 3 games I played were against druids.
Yeah, and druids are actually broken up into 2 tiers, tier 2 and tier 3. Tier 2 druids, mid-range druids, fall into the second tier, and then tier 3 are the mech druid, which is probably the more popular one that you're seeing right now, because it's more or less a cheaper deck to make. But tier 2 also consists of Face Hunter, which is self-explanatory. Just Wolf Riders and Knife Jugglers, Arcane Golems just going right to your face, and they're saving their kill commands to kill you. Very cheap deck, very efficient deck. Mech Mage, also cheap deck, efficient deck. Tempo Rogue, again, most of these decks are they're not expensive. They don't require a lot of legendary cards, and they're seen as some of the best decks out there. Granted, they're in tier 2, and tier 2 decks are competitive enough to take games off the best decks, like Control Warrior, Handlock, Zulok, but they often suffer from not having enough cards, or they're just sort of conditional at some points, whereas Control Warrior, Handlock, you always have an option. You always know what to do. But then again, you also have 6-7 legendaries, tons of epics. So
yeah, that Face Hunter that you mentioned was my staple deck for many, many months, and it enabled me to probably get one of my best win ratios ever. But then came Naxx, and then came GVG, and there's so much desire to want to play with other cards that my loss rate has improved in the name of trying new cards to have fun.
I like that. My loss rate has improved.
I like it too.
That's good.
But here's the thing. A lot of these decks you're mentioning have been around forever. They're not new. They're old staples that haven't changed. They may have changed a card or two, but essentially, they're the same decks we were playing 6 months ago. So basically, you're saying to get to the top and to be legend, you have to play old and boring.
Essentially, those are the best decks right now, even though the tier 2 decks can sort of snipe some wins off of them. Those are the most consistent decks, the Control Warrior, the Handlock, the Zulok, which is also a cheap deck, mind you, Midrange Hunter, and the Control Paladin. Those are essentially the most stable decks out there.
That's disappointing. I was hoping GVC was going to change that.
So this is on TempleStorm.com, and that's Raynad's team. We're not plugging for Temple Storm. I just found this to be a very interesting article.
No, always nice to be able to look around and see other people's decks.
Sure, and they also have links to basically the deck build for Control Warrior, Handlock, Zulok. So it's essentially net decking. You can go on there, look at their cards, and sort of just make your deck out of it. But these guys get legend with it. So can you.
I'm still playing in rank 20. So
I don't know
I
about
one
the
of these.
So can you, because the legendary players, having the right deck is only half of it. It's knowing when and how to play the deck, knowing when your opponent's going to draw what or what they're going to have. They know by turn what their opponent is likely to be playing. They know what's going to counter, what they're going to put down, and when not to cast it. So, yes, it's the deck, but it's the way they play it. And that's really, I think, the difference between the legendary player and everyone else. It's not, you know, that's why so many people copy these decks and never get past 17.
Know when to hold them and know when to fold them?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And as long as we've been playing, we're still struggling with learning that. The way I play now is different than the way I played 6 months ago, which is different than what I played a year ago, because it's just the experience. You get beat often enough and you pay attention to how you're getting beat, you learn to be a better player.
That's right.
True enough. All right, we're going to move on. Was there more, Mac, before I cut you off?
No, there's a lot more on this website on Temple Storm. You can see the article right on the homepage, but definitely check it out. It's worth 10 minutes of your time.
Cool. Thank you. All right, we're going to go into discussing the newer cards Goblin versus...
I have one more question for Micmac. Yes. Wait, there's more. So, Micmac, you obviously didn't read all the decks on all the tiers, but were any of those decks Nax or GBG heavy decks, or were they all just standard long-time vanilla decks?
Well, there like a lot of them are staples, just like you said. Like, these decks have been around since the beginning of the game, but there's just, like, peppered cards from GVG in there, peppered cards from Nax in there. So, you know, the Control Warrior now has Dr. Boom in it versus not having Dr. Boom before because he wasn't around. It would have Gorehowl in there instead, for example. But they're just evolving with the meta, but these decks have been around, and they will be around for a very long time to come.
So thematically, there has been no GVG heavily oriented decks that have crept up to compete with those old favorites.
I mean, you could say that Mech Mage is getting up there. It's so common. It's the staple. You have to have mechs to play Mech Mage. And that's GBG. But aside from that, there's nothing really that's all that consistent that you could say is GBG. Maybe the Mech Druid deck is getting up there as well. But Mech Mage right now is King of the Mechs.
King of the Mechs.
King of the Mechs. The King of the Mechs. King of the North.
Of the Iron Throne. All right, so priest cards of GVG. Autumn's Bane, why don't you start us off this time? Because we had Micmac start last week.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready now. I had to get to the page.
All right.
So I like the name of this card, Light of the Naru. Restore 3 health. If the target is still damaged, summon a Light Warden.
Need another Light Warden.
No, not Lightwell, Light Warden.
Oh, true, sorry.
So, remember we were talking about how they were putting in cards that interacted with other minions from other expansions?
Yep.
like with the Paladin, we were talking about the Silverhand recruits. Mm-hmm. So now this one makes use of a Light Warden, and a priest played a Light Warden after a combination with... she played a Light Warden after having played Light Well, and then a big taunt creature, and then the Light Warden, and that's when I conceded very early in the game. Because so I saw where things were going.
So it basically grew like a Chia Pet, the Light Warden.
Yeah. So Light Warden, again, for folks, neutral card. Good card to keep in your deck anyway. One casting cost, 1/2 creature, but whenever a character is healed, you gain +2 attack.
It was a pretty good card. Very evil. Evil. I always thought priests were supposed to be good.
No, the priests in Hearthstone are actually warlocks. I mean, I know there's a warlock class, but they play more like you would expect a warlock to play.
Yeah. Very shadowy.
Between a warlock and a rogue. They steal your cards, come behind you. Never mind.
So let's try to get through this without bashing the priest too badly. If I can restrain myself,
I've been playing priest this week.
You can. Anyway, this is a rare card. And for 1 mana, I think it packs quite a punch. Restore 3 health for 1 mana. That's not too shabby. But if the target is still damaged, summon a Light Warden, so get a free minion.
I think I would put this in the deck. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. If I'm making an aggressive deck, I definitely want this card in there. It creates a lot of tempo and can give you the upswing in the game. So, yeah, I like it. I have it in gold, actually.
Nice. Do you really? Nice.
Yeah, there's like holy, I don't know, rays of light coming out of her mouth and her eyes.
Cool. No, I like the card. I think I might actually slip it into my priest deck and try it. The next card, however, I would not slip into my priest deck ever. It's the Shadow Bomber. It's a 1 casting cost, 2/1 creature. The battle cry is deal 3 damage to each hero. What? No. I'm sorry. I'm not going to damage my... Well, of course, I can heal myself right away. But first of all, it's only got 1 health. So if you cast it against a priest, you've hurt yourself, and not a priest, against a mage, you've hurt yourself and you've hurt them, yes, but you're not going to be able to pop over and hit them with 2 more damage because she's going to kill it as soon as possible. It's got one hit point.
Well, you said that priests are warlocks. This is a warlocky type of thing.
Yeah, you're hurting yourself. I don't see why I would want to do this. Unless it's an end game and they've only got 3 health left and you want to finish them off by going over a taunt. I mean, and you've got enough to heal yourself.
I don't know. Something smells of gimmick here. Mick, did you find the gimmick that this goes with?
Well, so when I opened up my... I bought a block of cards once GBG went live, and I got a lot of priest cards, a lot of small priest cards. And I made a priest deck. That was the first deck that I made. And so I had 2 of these. So I made a deck with them. And yeah, they're just... It's just god-awful. There's no other way to describe it. It's just a bad card.
So there's no combo tested.
There's no combo that you can think of that made this a good card.
I mean, if you're looking to end the game, it's a 1-mana smite that will go right to the hero. If the opposing hero has 3 health... And your smite, you have 1 mana left, and you have a smite for 2 damage, and then it's for 3. I suppose this is better, but I want to like this card, but I can't, because I think of the Flame Imp. Flame Imp is a common warlock card. It's a 1 mana, 3/2, that deals 3 damage just to you. And that's just, like, so much better than this card. It's much, much better.
Yeah, this one, it dies too easily, and it hurts you. And again, maybe they're thinking, well, with the priest can heal themselves. Whereas your opponents usually can't. I just don't see the sense of this card.
There's
got
to be more to it.
There's got to be some sort of synergy.
It's an epic. There's got to be something to this card. That,
just like Farsight,
that we're not
that's
picking
epic.
Up. Right, but Farsight we eventually figured out. This is, again, other than just like a cheap print command for 3 instead of 5.
A listener's challenge. We are putting it to our listeners. We have the listener's challenge of the week. Send us an email with Shadow Bomber in the subject line and tell us some sort of synergy that we could tell other people this card doesn't suck.
Yeah, prove to us this card doesn't suck. That's what we're asking you to
so
do.
So that's it. That's well, it. Let's see if our listeners can find us a good way to play this card.
The only thing I could think of is if you look at the Leper Gnome has a death rattle that deals 2 damage to the enemy hero. And this has a battle cry doing 3 damage, so it's a little bit better in that respect than Leper Gnome.
But it hurts you.
Right.
That's part of the casting cost. Maybe that's all they mean. It's a Leper Gnome that does more, but you take damage in the process. Maybe they're thinking 3 damage is a pretty good battle cry, and you don't have to worry about the 3 damage because you have a million ways to heal yourself.
Possibly. Yeah.
I would find other cards that were better. Micmac, why don't we move on to the next one for you?
Okay. I like this card. It is called the Shadow Boxer. It's 2 mana, 2/3. It's a rare. Whenever a character is healed, deal 1 damage to a random enemy. This card reminds me of Knife Juggler. What do you guys think?
I agree. It's only 1 damage to a random enemy instead of flip.
Yeah, it's the same casting cost as Knife Juggler. The attack and toughness are reversed. It's also a mech. And it's using a healing combination instead of a playing a minion combination. So, yes, very, very much like the Knife Juggler.
This could also be a lot of fun because you're going to be healing your own minions with your hero power. Then there are the cards that will heal another card for 3 points. So each time when a card is healing a card or when you are healing... When a minion is healing another minion, or when you're healing another minion, all over the place, you're going to have little things flying, shadow bolts flying.
And this is a little harder to kill than the
Knife Juggler. Yeah.
You know, an explosive trap's not going to take this guy out. You know, and then he heals himself back to normal and deals 1 damage to a random enemy.
I had 2 of these out, and I had a board of, I don't know, 4 or 5... minions, again, 2 shadow boxers, and I used Circle of Healing, plus whatever my enemy had, and there were just jabs and hooks and crosses flying left and right all over the board. That was a little fun combination.
Think of this. We have a neutral card that's a 2 casting cost, 2/3 beast, the River Crocolis. The exact same thing. 2 casting cost, 2/3 creature, does nothing.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is a good decent card.
That's also
a
neutral card, and it's not a rare. So there's a difference
there. The
River
Cross, yeah, true. But if you're looking at the casting cost and everything that way, the power and the toughness are the same. If you are playing a priest card, you would be playing that card instead of a neutral card of the River Croc.
Right,
clearly, if you had it. So I just want to mention Circle of Healing is a 0 cast priest spell that restores 4 health to all minions. Just Micmac mentioned it, so I wanted to tell everybody what it was who may not know.
Decent card. I would use it. Autumn's Bane, you want to move to the next one?
Sure, Shrinkmeister. I now have 2 of them as of yesterday. 2 casting cost, 3 attack, 2 toughness, health, battle cry. Give a minion -2 attack this turn. So, that's a nice way to neutralize some minions. 2 casting costs. I don't think it's a bad common card. It's common.
Wait a second. Give a minion -2 attack this turn.
Yeah, it's just
you would
just
be
this
casting
turn.
Yeah, meaning by the time if you cast it on your opponent's card minion, by the time he attacks, that's gone because that's the next turn.
That is true.
So you're going to give this to one of your own minions so you're not going to attack as much?
No, you're going to give it to your opponent's minion so that maybe you can attack it with one of your other minions
and
not get killed by it.
There you go.
So there's actually a lot of combination with this card. And at first glance, you might say, all right, that looks fine. You know, the stats are okay. 3/2 for 2 mana. And the battle cry is it's different. There aren't any other cards that have a battle cry like that to give minus. You have cards that give plus attack, like a Dark Iron Dwarf or an Abusive Sergeant. They give +2 attack to a minion, but not the Shrinkmeister. He does -2. And here's where the combination starts to go crazy. So, Cabal Shadow Priest, okay? It's a 6 mana, 4/5 minion. Has a battle cry of take control of an enemy minion with two attack or less, okay? So let's say that you had a Yeti, okay? A 4-5 tier 1 Yeti.
I see the, where you're going here.
Yep. Play the Shrinkmeister. Yeti's now 2 attack. Play Cabal Shadow Priest. Whoop. Take control
Steal
of that
it.
Yeti. Or what if you had, say, another Yeti? Let's say, okay, so here's another example with the Yeti. Yeti's, again, 4 attack, okay? Shadow Word Pain kills a minion of 3 attack or less. Shadow Word Death kills a minion of 5 attack or more, okay? So what about the 4 attack minions, like the Yetis? Shrinkmeister comes in just fine. He can knock that Yeti down to size to 2 attack. You can Shadow Word Pain it.
Yeah,
I like it.
And then on its own, without a combo, let's say you've got an 8-8 and your opponent's got an 8-8. Well, now your opponent's got a 6-8. Your 8-8 lives and kills his 8-8, which was now a 6-8.
Yeah, there's so many different combinations. It's truly like one of the better cards Priest has.
Oh yeah, that is a good card.
This is a common, and it's better than some of the rares we've seen.
It's definitely better than the Shadow Bomber.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or epics, then.
All right, the next card is Velen's Chosen. It's 3 casting cost. Minion +2/+4, and spell damage +1. That's a good card. I like it. It goes right with Let's Pump Everything Up through the wazoo, because you're a priest.
Yeah, pump up the volume. It's a god in arena, too. It's when this card gets played in the arena, watch out. You now have a big boy minion on your hands.
Yeah, there's nothing negative to the card. Even the casting cost isn't that bad. Three casting cost.
I think it's overpowered for the casting cost.
Think so?
No.
Yeah, but they don't nerf priest cards.
Yeah, that's not true. They nerfed control magic. I keep saying
right,
control magic.
Control
magic was the Magic the Gathering version of mind control.
Mind control. They made it right. It used to be 8 casting costs. It's now 10.
And Ben Brode said it wasn't unbalanced. They had to change it due to player response. People were just so freaked out about the fact that card could do what it could do for only 8 mana that they changed it just to appease the player base. Not because the Blizzard developers thought it was unbalanced. But I don't know. For 3 mana, I would think maybe give +1/+2 or +1/+3 and the spell damage. That's just like a lot of oomph for 3 mana.
Well, the only thing is, it is a spell. So you're not casting a minion here. You're pumping
a
minion.
But it's also not like this turn. This is a permanent change. And you put that on somebody that's already got plus the spell damage. Suddenly you've got 2 spell damage or 3 spell damage. It's no question. It's a good card, in my opinion.
So, take a look at the Druid card, Mark of the Wild. Okay, it's also a spell. It's 2 mana, give minion taunt, and +2/+2. Now, this gives +2/+4, which is better for 1 more mana, and spell damage. Maybe it's just a little bit better. It might just be a little better than Mark of the Wild.
Mark of the Wild gives taunt instead of spell damage, and they both give...
No, this gives 4 instead of 2 on your armor, though.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess what this has over the Mark of the Wild for only 1 more casting cost might be more fair than I originally thought before the comparison. But it's a good card. Let's leave it at that.
Okay,
I would love to see this card in gold. It must be really pretty.
Yeah, I don't have it in gold, but I would agree.
Yeah. I've got 2 of it. I can see myself reconstructing my priest deck this week because we just discussed at least 3 really good priest cards here.
Yep. And there's more coming.
So here we have the upgraded repair bot. It's a 5 mana, 5/5 mech. It's a rare. Battlecry. Give a friendly mech +4 health. This is a... It is a good card. It's situational, of course, because it has to be a mech. The Temple Enforcer, which is another priest card, he's a 6 mana 6/6 that gives any minion +3 health. Great card. Upgraded Repair Bot, you need to use this with a mech and other... Well, you need to have it in a mech deck, first of all. But on its own, like in the arena, it's a fine card. It's a good-sized body. You have to hope you have some mech synergies, but it's not bad. I don't think... I'd rather have Temple Enforcer, to be quite honest, but it's not bad.
I think it's got a little bit of a high casting cost for... Well, it's a 5/5 creature on its own. It's okay.
Giving another minion 4 health is pretty decent.
But it's got to be a mech.
Right, so you play it in a mech deck. There's enough mech decks out there.
Well, the Shadow Boxer is a mech, so...
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. You put that +4 on the Shadow Boxer to ensure it stays around and do its job.
2/7.
Yep, there you go. So it's, keep in mind, it's not only which card you're playing, but which card you're playing it with.
Right, and all cards are relative to the decks they're in.
Right. So yeah, it's a good card.
My turn.
Is it your turn? It is
my
your turn. You get him.
I get the Vol'jin Mon. Legendary priest card, Vol'jin. 5 casting cost, 6 power, 2 toughness. I have him. Battle cry. Swap health with another minion. So that's why he's got a crappy health of 2, because he's going to swap it with someone else. Maybe that Ragnaros or that Ysera.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
I have one also.
Yeah. Nice.
I do. Autostain and I got lucky.
Pretty cool card. That's not the next one I would craft, though.
No. Well, it depends. If you're going to play a lot of priests, then you might. But...
I think the next card I'm going to craft might be the Shredder.
The Piloted Shredder? Or the Sky Golem?
Wait.
Or Sneed's Old Shredder.
Yes, that's the one. I think that might be my next crafted card. I'm still having fun with my Trog.
Well, I've got 4 of the 7 cards we've just gone up against, and it still doesn't make me inclined to play a priest. It would just make me feel dirty.
Oh, I'm not going to touch that. The next one is Light Bomb, 6 casting cost, and it is an epic. Deal damage to each minion equal to its attack. Let me say again. Deal damage to each minion equal to its attack.
Just so you know, I had to read this 3 times until I actually understood what it did.
So what it's saying is, if you have a 3/3 creature out there, and or your opponent has a 3/3, and you cast this light bomb, your opponent's minion is going to do 3 damage to itself. This is good against giants, but it's a high casting cost. This is a really situational card.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can think of it as like a board clear, because typically priests like to have minions that have a lot more health than they do attack.
Exactly, so their minions will survive.
Yep, there you go.
But
whereas a lot of aggro decks, it's the other way around.
But it's a high casting cost.
It is very high casting cost, and it's an epic, so it's a lot to craft.
Yeah, I would, I have it. I'm just not sure I would actually put it. I might put it in a deck just to try it out, just to see what happens.
I don't know. In the right circumstances, this is a board clear.
Yeah,
and it's not 12. It's not 10 mana like, Deathwing.
I've got to say, so far of all the different ones we've gone through, we've done the Druid, the Hunter, the Mage, the Paladin, and now the Priest. With the exception of the Shadow Bomber, priests. Cards are pretty rocking.
I agree.
For this expansion.
I completely agree.
They are
good cards. And again, send us an email. Tell us how that Shadow Bomber can be not crap. Because I'd really like to know.
You know what? But the Druid had some suspect cards that we didn't think were all that great. Most of the Hunter cards were pretty good. Yeah, the Mage had a couple that we weren't sure of, but most of them were okay. And
the Pally was about 50-50, I think.
Yeah, the good Paladin cards, though, were really, really good cards.
Yeah,
they have great
this,
combinations.
Yeah, this one, out of 8 cards, 7 of them are really good.
Yeah, and the epic one stinks. Well, one of the 2 epics.
Yeah.
So they answered they answered a lot of questions that they needed to have filled from people that played priests. Like, I needed a small minion that can do something, so they got a Shrinkmeister. And then they said, I need a better legendary because Prophet Belon is a no-show all the time. I can't really put him into a deck and have him do well and be successful. So they got Vol'jin. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. So that's going to wrap up our discussion on the GVG cards this week. We'll do the Rogues next week. I'm going to slide over to the tournament that we're having. Again, the tournament date is February 7th. Deadline is January what, Autumn's Bane?
Deadline is January 30th.
Okay. And just to remind people, invites have gone out. If you have not gotten an invite, that means you're not on our mailing list. So what you have to do is send us an email, tell us you're interested in the tournament.
Just put tournament in the subject line.
Right. We will send you the invite email. Once you receive the invite email, you're going to read through it because it's got all the information that you need to be in the tournament. Email back with your battle tag and the two decks you're planning on using. And that's that.
And read the email, because you sending us an email saying, hey, I'm interested in the tournament, doesn't gain you entry. Getting the invitation, reading all the rules, and responding, and your response is an acknowledgement that you understand and will adhere to the rules, that's kind of your entry, your free entry form. And if you do not get a response back from us, from me actually, if you don't get a response saying you're confirmed as an entrant, that means something went wrong. So if it takes more than 2 or 3 days tops, because I usually get on it that day, then I probably didn't get your email, or you've done something wrong. Like you've sent me your battle tag name without the 4-digit number afterwards, or you didn't tell us the decks you were using. And please, please, please don't send us the contents of your decks. Just tell us the hero classes you're going to be using.
Yep, just playing a priest and a mage, and my battle tag is this.
Yeah, and also, and some people didn't do this in the last tournament, Micmac, Autumn's Bane, Blacklace, battle tags all appear at the bottom of the email. Don't wait until the tournament. Request our friendship in the game, so that way we can have you set up. So that way, if there's a problem, you can just catch us while we're in game and say, hey, I haven't heard from you, or blah, blah, blah. But that's how we communicate during the tournament. Last time, somebody didn't quite manage to... there was a communication loss. Might have been my fault, might have been their fault, I don't recall. But the point is, there was a communication loss, and we weren't BattleNet friends. Therefore, at the last minute, there was no way to communicate. You know, the night before, there was no quick way to communicate other than an email, which isn't always timely. So read the invitation, do what it says. The Battlefy, battlefy.com/aworthyopponent has the new tournament listed, and you can go there and click on it, and you will see all the details of the tournament. And as well as the rules, most of which are the same that you see in the email. And January 30th is the deadline. So probably February 1st or 2nd or 3rd, maybe the latest, the ladder will be up. And then you can go and see in advance, you know, who you're facing in the first match, etc. So, there's lots of tools. Hearthstone calendar. We've also entered it there, so you can see the date on Hearthstone calendar as well. So, spent a lot of different sources. We got email, we got Battlefy, we got Hearthstone calendar, and of course, we've got this podcast. So, we'll be mentioning it every week until. And if you are interested in being on the show, you've got to win. And you've got to have TeamSpeak, and you've got to have a way to properly communicate on TeamSpeak, like a gamer's headset or something. You can't speak with an open mic. It's just too noisy.
You can try Morse code, but I'm a little rusty on my interpretation of it.
We're starting to run out of time, and we had 4 emails to read through.
They're quick.
Before we read the emails, I'm going to throw out a couple of thank yous. One to Chris Rogers for very supportive email to us just seeing how he likes us. Thank you very much, Chris, for your email. And also wanted to thank Shadow 13th in Australia for an iTunes review back in December. Thank you very much also. Mac, can you read that? Patrick Rain sent us an email we wanted to discuss.
Sure. Well met, Autumn Spain, Black Lace, and Micmac. I have listened to every one of your shows and can't wait for more. Thank you so much. Wow, that's impressive.
I have we're at number 61.
Yeah. I have most enjoyed your episodes where you break down individual class cards, both old and new. I have been regularly playing Hearthstone for about 8 months, mostly gaining cards and experience for daily quests. I get so excited when I open up new legendary cards. It's just difficult to know which ones work the best and worst in the current meta. Can you do any talks about ranking these cards so average players know which ones, particularly the neutral cards, work best and which ones could be dust worthy? Your continued help and entertainment are very much appreciated. Thank you.
Do I sense a homework assignment here?
Yeah, why don't we answer his question next time and give us all some time to think about it? Only because of the time it is and the fact that we could spend considerable time on this.
I think each of us should pick our, three favorite legendary cards that are neutral and, well, there aren't a lot of legendaries. Our top two.
There's tons of legendaries, especially with two expansions.
All right, so do our top three legendaries and our bottom three legendaries. How's that? And we'll answer his question next week.
Okay.
All right, I am shifting over to the next email. Okay. Dear worthy opponent, this comes from Necron of Kazgoroth, otherwise known as Josh Jones. Dear worthy opponent, I'm a newish listener, been listening for the last 10 episodes. I highly enjoy your podcast and during my commutes. I have an epic short Hearthstone story, and I have a pick to prove it. We were discussing this one earlier, by the way, guys. Listening to Black Lace talk about Sneed's old Shredder in a few episodes past, I ended up getting a gold Mal'Ganis, but what I really wanted was that Shredder, so I dusted Mal'Ganis and made Sneed's old Shredder. I don't regret it. Story. Faceless Manipulator times 2 plus Sneed's old Shredder. 5 to 24, both with heavy minions, and I still won. Side note, only 2 out of 3 died. Summoning Dr. Boom 7/7, Blood Mage Thalanos, +1/+1 spell, +1 draw card. Picture of it didn't happen. He sent us a picture of this board that was phenomenal. That is basically got all his little Sneed's little shredders. There are 3 of them in a row. And then there's, unfortunately, I can't curse Rover. He's playing Priest against Priest. And I don't think that other priest could have come out alive. It was 24-5. He had a good handful of cards. The other priest had no cards in his hands. And this wasn't going to end well for the other priest. I would say he won this one. I'm hoping he won this one. But thank you for the email. And yes, Sneasel, Shredder, and Faceless Manipulators. There we go with the priest again. Beautiful.
Nice.
Sweet.
Sweet. Autumn's Bane, you were volunteered, I don't know if you were away from computer when we said this, to do Aled Fry Thomas, his email.
Okay, so good thing I happen to have my email up. Okay, hi guys, Finn here. Long time listener, but first time emailing. I listen to your show every Tuesday on my way to work. I'm from the south of England, always fun to know. I was just emailing in to ask you guys a question. What is your favorite card so far in GVG, in both Just Fun or how OP it is, ha ha ha. My card would be Sneed's Old Shredder. Boy, that's coming up a lot tonight, just because it is so much fun. Would love to hear your guys' thoughts. Thanks a bunch, Finn. P.S. Okay, he wants to join the tournament too, so okay. What do you think? I know what mine is, you know what yours is?
Mine is Trogzor, the Earthinator.
So I love my easy. That's such a cop-out to pick a legendary.
Well, it's my favorite card. He didn't say it couldn't be legendary. That's
I know, but everybody goes for the legendary.
You might call it a rock bottom card. No, it's a good card. It's a fun card.
Although Micmac witnessed it fail me today because of some bad luck. And Hanso Mecano is currently my favorite card.
So I can't really? Just choose one. So
yes,
oh, no.
Can.
Wait a second.
I can't.
Pick one of many, then.
Okay. I'm going to tell you my three favorite, and I'm going to tell you my
God.
I have to. Okay.
He said one card.
He wants his favorite.
You into picking just one. You have to save your wife, your dog, your mother, or us. Come on.
Then I save Dr. Boom. I think that he's the best legendary card. He's the best neutral legendary card. He can go in almost any deck, and there's never a bad time to play Dr. Boom. Dr. Boom, 7 mana, 7/7. Battlecry, summon 2/1/1 Boombots. Boombots have a death rattle of doing 1 to 4 damage to a random enemy. It's pretty awesome.
I had an interesting card played against me this week. I don't even remember what it was. We haven't really gone over the Warriors. Basically, he put a bomb in my deck.
Oh, you got that?
Someone played it against me. The bomb never went off.
That's the Iron Juggernaut we talked about. Yes.
Okay, so he played that against me, and the bomb did show up in my. It never came out, so I didn't get to see it blow up, which was good because I wanted to win the game. But yeah, that was an interesting thing. But yeah, Dr. Boom is good, but so is my Trog.
I didn't give the stats on my card, so I was remiss. Enhanced Omecano is an epic mech. Forecasting cost 3/2. Battle Cry. Give your other minions Wind Fury, Taunt, or Divine Shield. So Micmac saw me play him today on like 6 other minions, and they all got like the wrong things.
Yes.
And they were kind of weak. So I was going to give the opponent... I took a pass because I had some cards that get tougher, and they would be tougher next turn. And then he like came out and just obliterated me with a second Consecrate I didn't know he had. So that was the end. But usually it works really great.
Yeah, and Trogzor the Earthinator, 7 casting cost, 6/6. Whenever your opponent casts a spell, summon a Burly Rockjaw Trog, which is a 3/5 creature that whenever your opponent casts a spell, you gain +2 attack. And just to remind people, if you see Trogzor the Earthinator come up against you, kill him with your minions. Don't cast spells to kill him, because every time you start casting a spell to kill him, he pops off more Trogs. He's an awesome card.
And they hit the table before the spell lands.
They do hit the table before the spell lands.
We talked about that last week, so be careful.
Yep.
He's my second favorite.
You had to get it in.
And just to drive home something on the Enhanced Omecano, your other minions get these abilities, not just other mechs.
Cool. One more email. Cody Anderson, thank you for your email from Canada. Hi, Black Lace, Autumn's Bane, and Micmac Paddywhack, give your dog a bone. Just wanted to say that I really enjoy your podcast, and it is nice to get a perspective from fellow casual players. I played a bit when Hearthstone first launched, but I had no idea what I was doing, so I shortly gave up. A month ago, I broke a finger on my left hand, so that it was pretty much forced me to play mouse-only games, so I gave Hearthstone another try. After a bit of research and trial and error, I fell in love with the game. Yay! With that said, I was wondering your perspective on ranked versus arena play. I've only been able to get up to rank 15 before getting demolished back to 17 or 18. Also, in arena, I only get 3 to 4 wins max. Wondering if you had some tips for each. Thanks and happy hearthing. Greetings from Canada, Rocksmith. We've discussed this a lot in the past in earlier episodes. It depends on who you are. If it's ranked versus arena, I will always say ranked because I suck at arena. But that's not really what you're asking. It's all a matter of perspective and how you like to play. Arena is a little bit more mysterious because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what cards you're going to get put into your hand. You don't know what possible heroes you're going to have to play with. So if you want that kind of challenge, then arena is definitely the way to go there. Otherwise, with ranked, it's a matter of mastering your deck so you can master everybody else. Guys?
Yeah, I would definitely agree there. I think that Rocksmith he's kind of at a crossroads. Like, does he want to be an arena player? Does he want to be a ranked, / casual
both.
Player? So, I guess my advice would be depending on his arsenal of cards, it may be good right now just to build up by doing casual and ranked and spending his money on dust. And then eventually, once he gets a little bit better, he can turn towards arena and just, you know, work on getting arena up there. And if you can get 7 wins in arena on average consistently, you are considered an infinite arena player, meaning that you'll get at least 150 gold back, plus packs and dust and whatever. So your
also,
arena run was free plus then.
I would say start out with ranked only because that way you can, because you're still in the learning phases. You've been playing it for, you know, about a month now, and you've fallen back in love with the game or fallen in love with the game. There's a lot to learn about all the different classes. So if you are playing in ranked, you're going to learn how this is going to play against you and that is going to play against you. Do that for a while. That way, when you go into play arena, you know more about what to expect and what cards are going to be good for you.
He's already better than he thinks. He's made it to 15.
Yes, he's made it to 15. That's awesome.
That's not a trivial thing. That's not a trivial thing. In fact, how far he's made it and how many wins he's had in arena is like very much my record. So he's on equal footing with me, which means he's actually probably better than me because he's been doing it for such a short time. So here's the thing. If you have a couple of classes that you like to play, like let's say you like to mostly play Mage, Rogue, and Warrior, and you're not too familiar with the others, you're going to be in for some rude awakening when you hit arena and none of those classes show up. And then suddenly you have to learn on the fly how to play them. If you like to play everything, or if you want some experience playing something you've never played before or haven't made a deck for, then arena is a good way to experiment. But I think in arena, you kind of have to know the classes better than you have to do in regular ranked play, where it's important to know what other people are playing in ranked, but if you're mastering your own deck, that's sometimes enough. That's not enough in arena.
Or play in ranked to get the gold to play in arena. Hello?
Hi. Yeah.
Remember, even if you lose, silence. Even if you do poorly in arena, you'll still get a pack.
You still get a pack. So, yeah. So, that basically wraps it up. Gentlemen, anything else that you have to say this week?
Congratulations to the New England Patriots for making it to the AFC Championship Series against the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to have a very good weekend.
That's football, right?
I thought the Colts were in Baltimore.
No, well, they used to be. Baltimore Colts, and they went to Indianapolis.
They've been in Indiana for a long time now.
Yeah, that's how long it's been since I followed football.
Mm-hmm. All right, so our homework assignment is to pick the top three and worst three of the legendaries. Our listeners' homework assignment is to send us a reason not to dust every Shadow Bomber we ever come across. Don't forget, everybody, to send your emails if you are interested in the tourney.
And remember, I didn't say this before, this tournament, this time around, and probably for the last time ever, will be an all basic card. If it's got a gem on it, you can't use it. Just something we're trying different to appeal to all players, even those who are brand new.
Kind of a balanced ground here. Okay, so you can find us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us on Twitch TV on Monday nights, Holosuite Media. We are on at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can download us on iTunes. Feel free to send us a review. You can send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at awohearthstone. We are on Stitcher Satellite Radio and Google Plus at A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media and our sponsor, and Xander, who is sick this week. Xander, feel better. And we thank Awesome City Limits for their awesome theme music that they are allowing us to use. So everybody, happy hearthing.
See you next week.
The end is coming.
Bye.
Xander is ranked 21. Congratulations, Xander.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
My voice almost lasted for the entire show this week. Woohoo! Yeah.
Did you read that Cody called us fellow filthy casuals?
Yes.
I meant to read that, damn it. Ah, yes. I blew it.